Some of you recognize this beautiful song, I'm in the Mood, by the Love Unlimited Orchestra, because you heard it yesterday when I brought to you the first part of The Power of Intimacy. I'm featuring the song again today because today we bring the second part of The Power of Intimacy with a special focus on intimacy from a biblical perspective. First, here on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., more of the music. All right, The Power of Intimacy. Wow, it sure can be powerful too, especially when, as we were saying yesterday, we give it the value that it deserves. Now, since we're going to be taking a look at it from a biblical perspective, and don't get me wrong, we're going to be looking at this from just general principle as well, but we've got to look at it also from a biblical perspective, because remember, God, who created us all, is also the one who created intimacy. We did not create that, ladies and gentlemen. Human beings did not create intimacy. God did. And in the very beginning, with our very first parents, Adam and Eve, God had made Adam first. He decided that it was not good for the man to be alone. He had made male and female of this animal, that animal, male and female of this bird, that bird, male and female of this fish, that fish. And he determined the man also needed a female companion. And so he made Eve and presented her to Adam. And the two became one flesh. Essentially meaning they had sexual intercourse, and that became part of their relationship. Having sexual intercourse was part of their relationship, part of their way of relating to each other. God is the one who created it that way. He designed the man's genitalia. He designed the woman's genitalia and deliberately made it such that the man's genitalia would fit inside the woman's genitalia, his penis and her vagina. Real talk about real life. Real talk about real relationship. His penis inside her vagina, with nerve endings in his penis, nerve endings in her vagina and her clitoris, that would enable both of them to not just have sexual intercourse, not just have sexual intercourse, but to thoroughly enjoy sexual intercourse so that they thoroughly enjoyed each other. Part of their relationship. That's part of their relating to each other. And God designed it that way. He designed the man and the woman with emotions so that they could connect with each other emotionally. He gave them wisdom so that they would be able to connect with each other mentally. Having many similarities in their bodies, more similarities than differences. Legs basically shaped the same way, arms, shoulders basically shaped the same way, back basically shaped the same way, hands, feet basically shaped the same way. But differences for sure. The woman being given the ability to receive sperm and become pregnant and carry a baby. and deliver a baby. The man having been enabled to produce and propel sperm into the woman's birth canal, vagina, so that, and get it to her uterus so that she could become pregnant. Originally, the woman wasn't going to experience all the pain that women experience as a result of the pregnancy, the delivery, but we know things got messed up a bit. But to the pleasure principle, the pleasure factor, God designed it to be about the pleasure and about, as a result, the fulfillment. And so, as I've said, the man and the woman, husband and wife, connecting with each other on every level, the emotional level, the mental level, the spiritual level, hopefully the moral level, because if they don't connect morally, the relationship is going to be messed up. If one of them is off somewhere in a different zone morally, instead of being in the zone with their spouse and their spouse only, the relationship's going to be contaminated. And that includes the sex life. It too will be contaminated. In fact, when the apostle talks about sex being between a husband and wife being a good and pure thing and clean thing, and he says that the marriage bed is not defiled. Marriage bed in that context is referring to the sex life. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we can indeed contaminate, defile, pollute our sex life. All we have to do is have someone else in our hearts, someone else in bed with us. And we contaminate the sex life that we have with our spouses. That said, let's go to the scriptures. I don't want to start at the Song of Solomon. I definitely want to get there, but I don't want to start there. I want to start in Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5, where we receive some awesome wisdom, some awesome information about our intimacy of our relationship with our spouses, our special someones. I'm starting at verse 15. Proverbs chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Now, let me share this with you. Basically, essentially here, as you can deduce, God, through his writer, is letting us know that we need to be all about monogamy. One wife only, one lover only, our spouse. And of course, the reverse is true as well. The wife should have only one lover, her husband. And that should be the case in our hearts and our minds as well as with our bodies. Yeah, because it's not cool to commit adultery with our hearts either, with our minds. It's even worse to take it further and commit adultery not only with our hearts, but with our bodies as well. That's even worse. But neither should happen. And so he's saying, listen, drink from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Be refreshed by her who is yours. Your wife and your wife only. Not any other wives, not any other single women. Just your wife. And of course, the wife only enjoying her husband. Listen to this. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. It is so important that the husband rejoice in the wife of his youth. It is also important that the wife rejoice in the husband of her youth, and that she make herself available only to him. Only to him. So that when they come together, the sex life is pure. The marriage bed is pure. Don't bring anyone from your past into it. Don't bring anyone in your present into it. A loving doe. This is so beautiful. May you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer. May her breasts satisfy you always. Her breasts and her breasts only. Ladies, allow your breasts to satisfy only your husband and no one else. May her breasts satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. With that kind of situation, a loving doe, a graceful deer, tender, affectionate, compassionate, committed to her man, her breasts, always satisfying her husband and only her husband. Who wins in a situation like that? The husband or the wife? Or both? The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, both win in that situation. Especially when that situation is the way it is all the time. That's the way it should be. Consciences clear and free, free and clear. Not having to hope that the spouse doesn't pick up on the fact that you've been with someone else because you haven't been with anyone else. You can pour all your sexual energies into each other. How beautiful is it when you have proven to be worthy of each other's trust and neither of you has to be concerned about what else is coming? We know that when we have sex with folks, we have sex with everybody they had sex with, and we know that we're passing germs and bacteria and all this kind of stuff. How much more beautiful and pleasant and fulfilling is sexual intercourse with our spouses when both of us are worthy of trust? Both are worthy of trust. Worthy of the trust, not just trusted, but worthy of the trust. So that it's clean and beautiful. Here's the thing, as we continue to look at what the Blooms are sharing with us as well about intimacy, its value. If we were talking about this a little bit, yeah, well, quite a bit yesterday, spontaneity versus scheduling times of intimacy. And one of the points that they make is if we wait for emotional intimacy to occur spontaneously, there may be long periods of time between intimate contacts. And here's the thing. Just because we are going without sex for long periods of time, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's okay for us to be going without sex for long periods of time. It's often not good for the man or the woman. The way we are created, the way we're made, most human beings need to have sexual intercourse. Some are eunuchs by birth. Some people just plain don't need sex. But the vast majority of human beings need sex. It is not just about pleasure. It is also about procreation. And God intended for humans to do what other creatures do, multiply, have more of us. In his kindness and in his wisdom, he made the process very pleasurable, so that whether we are having sexual intercourse strictly for the purpose of pleasure, or whether we're having for pleasure and procreation, it's satisfying. It's fulfilling. So here's the thing. Very often, when people go long periods of time without having sexual intercourse with their spouses, that's one of the reasons that some spouses, male and female, sin and go out and have sexual intercourse with someone else. I said that's one of the reasons. Because you do have some people, let's just face it. Again, this is real talk about real life. We have a lot of men and a lot of women who are going to go out there and cheat on their spouses no matter what. They don't care how frequently they're able to have sex at home. They don't care how good it is at home. They want variety. Some of them are just downright disrespectful, resentful, ugly towards their spouses, and they want to demonstrate in the most intimate way possible their disrespect for their spouse. And so they have sex with someone else for that reason. There are different reasons. There are various reasons that people cheat. Sometimes they're being mistreated at home, neglected at home, abused at home, and they look for intimacy elsewhere. There are various reasons. I understand that. But I also realize that most human beings truly need to have sexual intercourse. And when that isn't done, when it doesn't happen at home, people will sometimes go out. And that's the reason that God had the Apostle Paul write to the Corinthians and tell them, hey, look, if a husband or a wife is going to fast for a period, then they need to make sure that they have the consent of their spouse. And with the consent of the spouse, then go ahead and fast, but let it be for short periods, because you don't want to be out there fasting for long periods of time, foregoing sexual intercourse, and your spouse become tempted. And not only the spouse become tempted, but based on how we humans do things, the person fasting, who is the one initiating the whole foregoing of sex for a while, can actually overestimate their ability to do without sex and find themselves cheating while fasting. Yeah, so we need to be reasonable about that. And God has let us know, be wise in thinking about all of that. So when we come back, we've taken a look at the beauty of being refreshed with intimacy as husband and wife engage each other. When we come back, let's take some more looks at why it's so important to look at this from various angles. And then we're going to eventually get into what the great wise man Solomon had to say about intimacy. And we will get to the point where I'm going to be sharing with you some recommendations to our church leaders. Back in a few.